else. Due to scarcity of fodder, the cattle owners are parting with their cattle for a nominal price. Many of the stray cattle are dying. The food problem is serious. Many are on the verge of starvation. The entire situation is most pathetic and heartrending. We therefore appeal to your revered self to consider how your society could best come to the rescue of these millions of souls who are in unimaginable distress. The committee would like to suggest that members of your society appeal to the devotees, the bhaktas, attending your discourses to contribute their might, their contribution, to the Andhra Pradesh Relief Fund. The committee is prepared to send some of its representatives, along with members of your society, wherever you wish, to distribute prasad to the hungry millions in the state, and so on. And Srila Prabhupada's reply, in essence, is no way. It seems the man also came to see Prabhupada, your letter and your personal interview. I beg to inform you that without pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can become happy. People do not know who God is and how to make him happy. Our movement is therefore meant to present the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly to the people. By pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we please everyone, and there is no question of scarcity. Because people do not know this secret, they are making their independent plans to be happy. And he basically tells the people on their letterhead that they're wasting their time. If you want to perform relief work simply by collecting funds, I think it will not be successful. You have to please the Supreme Authority. And then he talks about the Sankirtan movement and how they had Sankirtan in Hyderabad. And after a long drought, there was rain. The Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness is very important. Therefore, through you, I wish to appeal to all the leading men of India to accept this movement very seriously. So that was Srila Prabhupada's response. It was a golden opportunity for Srila Prabhupada, had he wanted to say, oh yes, your committee is going to send its representatives with us to distribute prasad to the hungry millions, and we'll get good publicity, no doubt. Let's do it. But Prabhupada instead wrote him back this letter and had it published, saying, you're going in the wrong direction and you should surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's this letter. Any questions? I didn't leave much time for questions yesterday. Any questions at this point? Yes. Loud, please. Let's let them get their microphone together. Just say anything until we see how the microphone works. Nope, not yet. Just keep chanting Hare Krishna and it will work. You have to chant loudly. How can we expect that in such a distressed condition all these people will take to Krishna consciousness? We probably don't expect that all these people will take to Krishna consciousness. Some of them may, some of them may not. There's millions of people in the world. Why are we focusing on this specific group of people and saying, how do we make this group Krishna conscious? There's a whole world. Why this group? Why do we target this group? Do we have to make this group Krishna conscious? This group? Of course, Gujarat, they're already Krishna conscious to a certain extent. Even in starvation, they'll understand somehow God has done this. But our process is Sankirtan. That will make... What to speak of these people? The leaders are not Krishna conscious. That was Prabhupada's point. What to speak of these people in distress? The leaders of the country are not Krishna conscious. And how will the followers be Krishna conscious if the leaders are not Krishna conscious? Therefore, Prabhupada wrote back that you want me to do this, food distribution, and or collect some money for your relief efforts. Who will relieve you? You're going in the wrong direction. You see? Is that all right? Yes? Hold on one second.
Hare Krishna?
Yes.
So, yesterday you were...
We mentioned hospitals yesterday.
Excuse me?
We mentioned hospitals
yesterday.
Yes,
so, and then I was wondering about this hospital in Bombay.
What were you wondering about it?
So, why is this allowed by Srila Prabhupada?
Why is it allowed by Srila Prabhupada? Of course, Srila Prabhupada's not there to allow or disallow it. But the hospital is not an ISKCON project. That's point one. It's not an ISKCON project. It's the project of the doctors and some pious and wealthy industrialists from Bombay who've constructed this hospital. The doctors are mostly devotees. The administrators are devotees. And the hospital performs several functions. First of all the doctors were already practicing medicine in Bombay. This way they get to work together in association. That's the first point. Second point is that they're, as doctors, they're not just interested in making money and having a good practice. They want to do something good for the people, so they're giving very low-cost treatment for people. So that's, they're doing, you know, good work. If you have to do work, do good work. Everyone has to work. The next thing is that in their, in the context of their practice, they're also preaching. Because they have a hospital, because patients come to them, they get to preach. They preach to the doctors, because there are other doctors working there. They preach to the patients. So they take the opportunity to preach. We encourage everyone in your business or your profession, you should preach. If you're a lawyer, then preach to your clients, preach to the lawyers, preach to the judge. If you're a doctor, if you own a car garage, you're not looking after people's bodies, you're looking after their cars, then preach to the people who come, preach to the mechanics, preach to everyone. So they're preaching Krishna consciousness within the context of their profession. But ISKCON hasn't built a hospital in Bombay. Is there a yes?
We can see that in 1972, Srila Prabhupada didn't want ISKCON to be involved in food relief.
It appears that way from this letter.
Yeah. And in recent earthquake in Gujarat, Food for Life was involved. So if you can comment on that.
Do I want to comment? It appears from this 1972 letter that Srila Prabhupada didn't want to commit the society to relief efforts. But after the Orissa earthquake, ISKCON did various things. Do I want to comment on that? No, not today. Any other questions? Okay. We come to this next handout, which is an article published in The Harmonist, the magazine started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The article was published in 1927, during the time that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the editor. So presumably he either saw it or wrote it. We don't know which one, because all the articles in that issue were unsigned. One time Srila Prabhupada said about the articles in BTG, he said, actually I'm the author of all of them, just they should be divided up under different names. So similarly here, I've heard, although I haven't verified, that in that year there was a catastrophic flood in the Midnapur district of West Bengal, southern West Bengal, and that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to contribute for the relief work, and instead spent a large sum of money for a theistic exhibition in Calcutta, for which he came under criticism. And according to the account, this article was published in reply. But I haven't verified that that story, so I can't tell you for sure. In any case, the article is here. Now, starting a little bit down, it may be asked, what does ISKCON do? I should say, this is a slight adaptation of the original article that appeared in The Harmonist. Originally it talked about Gaudiya Math, and we changed it to ISKCON or the Hare Krishna movement. It's a very close paraphrase. Wherever there is some editing done on this article, but it's either word for word or very closely paraphrased. You won't find any differences in substance between the article as it appeared in BTG and the article that appeared in The Harmonist. It may be asked, what does ISKCON do, or what does the Hare Krishna movement do? Is it merely another association, like the thousands of sects in this world? Or is it among the world's welfare societies? Or is it one of the world's many mischievous organizations? What work does ISKCON do for the benefit of the world? Is the Hare Krishna movement affectionate like a mother, a protector like a father, or a helper like a brother? What well-being for society does it desire? What very inconsiderable service does it render to mankind that the world, or the civilized world, or the whole of mankind should listen to its message? Many such questions may arise in our minds. ISKCON is not an association like the world's thousands of sects. It does not desire the welfare or non-welfare of the world like other benefit or mischief-making societies. It does not do work that is beneficial or harmful in terms of worldly enjoyments. ISKCON is neither affectionate nor cruel like a worldly mother, neither protector nor destroyer like a worldly father, neither helper nor enemy like a worldly brother. What then is this Hare Krishna movement that the world should listen to its words? The Hare Krishna movement says that harmony between itself and the whole world can be established by understanding one simple point, that the duty of all living beings consists in the exclusive service of Adhokshuja, the transcendence. Most people of this world say that the duty of all living beings is the service of Akshaja, or matter. Even when this is not actually said, in practice it is this that is always done. A couple paragraphs down. The service of the Adhokshaja means the service of the transcendental Godhead. That which helps or hinders the gratification of the body or the mind is not the service of the Adhokshaja, the transcendence. It is the service of Akshaja, matter. Moving down quite a bit. Harmful kindness. There's a breaker there. That type of kindness which does not give rise to manda, or evil, is termed amandorya daya. For example, if a sick man is allowed to eat forbidden items, or a drunkard is helped to proceed to a liquor shop, kindness is indeed shown, but that kindness later turns out harmful to the person who receives it. If the sick man is placed under medical treatment against his will, if the drunkard is protected from his evil course, amandodhya daya, non-harm-producing kindness, is shown. Preventing floods and famines, nursing the sick, pleasing or displeasing anyone, or stultifying anyone's faculty of consciousness, that is, promoting voyeurism. Every one of these is an instance of mandodhya daya, harm-producing kindness. Man cannot understand this till he realizes his true position. By such acts, the living being is not really benefited. Cutting the root of misery is doing real good to others. The treatment that allows the gangrene of sensual desires, the infection of sensual desires, to remain, does no real good to the patient. Swayam Nishreyasam Vidvan Navakyangyaya Karmahi Narati Rogino Patyam Panchatopi Vishaktama. Just as the best physician, even if a patient shows a desire for unwholesome food, does not allow it, he who is himself aware of Nishreya, the highest good, never advises an ignorant person to do karma, work, for his own interest.
So this is a revolutionary point of view on welfare work. It's not the official position of mainstream churches. It's not what the newspapers will heap praise upon you for. It's not what your parents will think is noble. It's not what your neighbors will look at you with a big smile for. It's revolutionary. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught that doing evil or doing good for the living being in terms of the material situation is doing him a disservice. To promote him from the third class jail cell to the second class jail cell is not a service to him. Then he explains what the service is, or this article explains. Forgetful of their own home, under the spell of the enchantress, most people of the world are running headlong in the opposite direction. In this again, their intoxication, eagerness, concentration, and firm determination are so intense that they have little opportunity to think about home. But the voice of the Hare Krishna movement is ever proclaiming, Krishna bolo sange chalo e matra bhikkhachai. Chant Hare Krishna, come along, these are the only alms we beg. Back to God and back to home is the message of the Hare Krishna movement. To arrest the pervertedly running tide and redirect it toward the eternal source is the seemingly unpleasant duty of the Hare Krishna movement. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada called it a thankless task. If we tell people you're going in the wrong direction, they'll say, what do you mean I'm going in the wrong direction? You don't know what you're doing. If we tell welfare workers, you're wasting your time. Oh. But that's our message. You're wasting your time. You can't save anyone. As Srila Prabhupada said yesterday, this is the business of cats and dogs. It's extended selfishness. It's negligence of the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is our unpleasant message for the people of the world. And our real message, that the real welfare work is to direct people back home, back to Godhead. The article refers to Maya as the enchantress. We shall conduct our family members from out of the spells of the enchantress toward home. We shall not show, for the time being, sweet sympathy for them. By enabling those who have fallen into the snares of the enchantress to get more deeply entangled. We're not going to encourage them in their materialistic activities, good or bad, pious or impious. The current that is sweeping the world, the flood on which it is adrift, the famine by which it is distressed, the want, fear, sorrow, delusion by which it is mastered, oppressed, and tortured, can be prevented, can be pulled up by the root, by the method of moving homeward, the method of self-surrender at the holy feet of the sorrowless and fearless Amrita. Amrita means the nectar of immortality or Krishna consciousness. Or Krishna. He's also Amrita. This is our answer. There's a famine. What to do? There's a flood. What to do? We're dealing with a bigger famine. We're dealing with a bigger flood. We're dealing with a bigger fire. For which the only answer is Krishna consciousness. Couple paragraphs later, death cannot be abolished from this mundane world. By no amount of effort, by the united living beings of the universe, can the threefold miseries be banished to Siberia. What to speak of Mr. Katadia's Andhra Pradesh Relief Fund Committee? Can it abolish the threefold miseries? Once the world is fairly embarked on the high tide of the holy name, the insignificant worldly flood retires forthwith. If the alms in the shape of the songs glorifying Krishna become easily procurable, obtainable, the little famines will leave us for good as a mere attendant result. With the appearance of sorrow, delusion, fear-killing bhakti, avidya, nescience, the root of every form of misery of the living being, is destroyed and the soul is well satisfied. Bhakti is like fire. Nothing else can purify gold the way fire can. Without bhakti yoga, the association of bhakti, other forms of effort are meaningless, like the attempt to refine gold by applying tamarind, earth, or ashes. Your other work is useless, and if you do this work, spread Krishna consciousness, the other work is all included. If somebody goes back to Godhead, will he be starving? Will he be flooded? Will he be beset by fires or disease? All his problems are solved. And if you get him out of the flood, will he be free from threefold miseries? Will he escape death? No. Therefore, other forms of effort are meaningless. Any questions? Yes.
When they're giving food for life, for example, they're giving prasadam.
Well, I'm not going to talk about food for life today, but anyway, continue with your question.
Do you know some examples of devotees who are engaged in such welfare activities like helping people who are...
Do I know examples? Sure, I know examples.
Helping them material.
Pardon me?
I mean, helping them material way.
Sure, I know plenty of devotees who help people materially. But I know plenty of devotees who do all sorts of things. That's not our standard, to see, well, what do devotees do in general, or what do several devotees do, and then, well, devotees are doing it. I think in Lakshmi Moni Mataji's class, it came up last night that devotees are watching video games, playing video games. Oh, devotees are doing it. Huh? It's not that you just look and say, well, devotees are doing it, therefore it's authorized. The question is whether the devotees doing it are acharyas, or are they acting under the direction of the acharyas. If the acharya is doing it, or the acharya is directing us to do it, it's good. If it's contrary to the directions of the acharya, decide for yourself. I'm not, you know, going to judge a particular program here, but I'm just giving the philosophy, the teachings, and you're intelligent, you see where they apply. Is that fair enough? Mataji? A little loud. You have a soft voice.
What comes to the level of being an acharya? Are these welfare activities relevant?
Are these?
Welfare activities relevant. Do they understand the goal of Krishna consciousness that's given by the acharya? But if they're not on that platform themselves, can they engage in those activities while performing their devotional activities, like, say, the career or...
Can they? Or if a person is engaged in devotional service and he's not on the level of an acharya, can he perform such welfare activities? Is that the question?
Is it detrimental? For
is it detrimental? Well, here it's called meaningless. So I don't think I need to go farther than that. Is meaningless enough? Then the question is, you could ask yourself, if I'm engaged in meaningless activities, is that detrimental to my spiritual life? Is that okay?
It may be meaningless, but there may be so many careers that devotees would engage in.
Career is a different thing. Career is different. Career means, if it's somebody's career to do this, that means it's his livelihood. So everyone has the right to earn a livelihood. He may be fixing cars or working in for a welfare at Satsurmaj when he was a brahmachari in the very early days of Krishna consciousness, was a welfare worker. And Prabhupada never condemned him and said, oh, you're doing welfare work. Actually, Prabhupada told him not to quit his welfare office job. But Prabhupada's reason was not, no, you shouldn't quit your job because you're helping people. You're working for other people's welfare. You shouldn't quit. That's not Krishna conscious. Prabhupada had a much more direct idea. You're making money and supporting the temple. So you shouldn't quit. So your livelihood is another thing. What you do to earn a living, or what you do to as a way of making money for your needs, or in this instance to support the temple, that may be another question. There's no, just like we say to be a, so many things. All these jobs of the material world are useless. All the jobs are useless. They're not spreading Krishna consciousness. But everyone has a right to live, everyone has to work. By your work, you make some money, you support yourself, and you go on chanting Hare Krishna, that's fine. Is that okay? Yes? Pass that mic, please.
Verse, first of Prophet says that altruistic and philanthropic activities performed in the Ishavasya concept, which concept of God then, activities have benefit that the person is safe from lying down and is guaranteed to get a human birth, is karma yoga. And he uses the word karma yoga. Second. Again,
hold on. Oh wait, I'm in the wrong place, hold on. Give me a moment. Okay, just tell it to me again. In the Ishopanishad, what does it say?
It says that I can have
you. You have it right in front of you?
I have it here. It says that activity is performed in the Ishavasya. Would you like to read it? Would you like to read it?
I'll find it in a second, just so I can keep up with you.
It's the last paragraph of Mantra 2.
Oh, good, you made it really easy. Hold on.
But it says, a humble God-centered life is more valuable than a colossal house of a life dedicated to godless altruism or socialism.
Yes. When altruistic activities are executed in the spirit of Sri Ishopanishad, they become a form of karma yoga. Such activities are recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, for they guarantee the executor executor, protection from the danger of sliding down into the evolutionary process. Even though such God-centered activities may be half-finished, they are still good, because they help, they guarantee the human being a human form in his next birth. How one can execute God-centered activities is elaborately explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We recommend this valuable book to all who are interested in performing their activities in the spirit of Sri Ishopanishad. So when you take that, the text, and pull it, let me back up a second. Sometimes texts are quoted in brief as evidence of something, and when you examine the quote in full, it becomes evidence of something else. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, yes, take your altruistic activities and execute them in the spirit of Sri Ishopanishad. What's the spirit of Sri Ishopanishad? Everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. Everything one belongs to Krishna. The purpose of life is to surrender to Krishna, come nearer to the personality of Godhead. How do you perform those altruistic activities? Read Nectar of Devotion. And when you read Nectar of Devotion, what do you find? That the highest welfare work is the process of welfare given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I think we either quoted or will quote, we did yesterday from Nectar of Devotion, on the purity of devotional service, on how devotional service surpasses the mundane welfare work of this world. So Srila Prabhupada here is not recommending that one perform karma yoga in the form of just doing pious activities. He's recommending that one should act in Krishna consciousness. Of course, even if you take it, pious activities, all right, pious activities are better than impious activities. But really, the point is not pious or impious. It's act in the service of Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada here particularly says, you want to know how to perform Ishavasya activities? Read Nectar of Devotion. Is that okay?
That would mean a person performs sadhana bhakti, or whatever sadhana bhakti, then he has a day of activities.
Yeah.
And he may do, help.
Yeah, we have no problem if in the course of your duties for earning a livelihood, you perform pious activities. Rupa Goswami says, Sato Brite, one should have some occupation in the mode of goodness. So we don't recommend, yes, you have to earn a living, be a butcher, run a topless bar. No. Perform some pious activity as your livelihood. Sell cloth, be a vegetable seller, work in a welfare agency, do something, you know, a little straightforward and honest. Yes?
Could his activities also be used as a way to...
Let this microphone reach you.
Could his activities also be used as a way of, say, attracting people to the association of devotees?
Can welfare activities be used as a way of attracting people to the association of devotees? Save that question to tomorrow, till tomorrow, and I'll definitely address it, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether there's strategic value apart from the... Even if it's lacking value intrinsically, is there value in it strategically in terms of attracting people? That's your question. I'll defer that question till tomorrow, if it's all right with you. Okay? I'd like to go forward here with with a very important section of this article. Very important for all of us who are chanting Hare Krishna. And it follows right from where we were reading. To imagine artavad in regard to the holy name, or in other words, to imagine that the glorification of the name is mere exaggeration of praise, is that godless intellectual attitude which gives rise to our belief in other tangible forms of effort. We think that the work of glorifying or preaching the name of Krishna is not conducive to the general good. Or again, we may think sometimes that the glorification and preaching of the name is on a level with other kinds of effort. The first is artavad in regard to the name. The second is the offense, aparad, of believing the chanting of the name to be equal to other good works. To have faith in the holy name is so very rare that we may leave it out of consideration. If we had faith even in Nam Bhas, the most dimly perceived name, we would never have said that succoring the victims of floods is better than congregationally chanting Hare Krishna and preaching about Krishna, or that opening hospitals or freeing the country from famines is better than preaching devotion to God. Hundreds of famines can be got rid of not by Nam Bhas, but even by Nam Aparad, offensive chanting of the name. The mukti that is not obtained in millions of births by Brahma Gyan, knowledge of Brahman, can be had by one single Nam Bhas. This is no exaggeration. This is very important. The author here is dealing with two offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One of them is the fifth offense, to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna is imaginary. And the other is the eighth offense, to think that pious activity is on the same level as chanting Hare Krishna. Very important and subtle offenses. One thinks that what will chanting do? People are dying. We have to help them. What's the use of simply chanting if they're hungry? That's the fifth offense against the chanting of the holy name. We have to see to people's real needs. What will chanting accomplish? Fifth offense in chanting the holy name. Just by chanting Hare Krishna once, offensively, one can go beyond mukti. Then what problem hasn't he solved? Huh? Everything is accomplished by chanting Hare Krishna. Is that true or not true? If we think it's not true, that means we think, oh, this is all exaggeration. Or it's stretching it. Huh? Therefore, the author says that to find someone who really believes this is a rare thing. But that's the fact of the holy name is non-different from Krishna. If someone comes directly in contact with Krishna, his problems are solved. Then we come to the thinking that chanting Hare Krishna is another auspicious activity. Or thinking that other auspicious activities are, it's devotional service. it's as good as someone's doing Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, and someone's doing pious work, someone's helping people. It's the same. That's the eighth offense. In Adi Lila chapter 3, Srila Prabhupada says, one should never consider the chanting of the holy name of Godhead equal to pious activities like giving charity to Brahmins or saintly persons, opening charitable educational institutions, distributing free food, and so on. The results of pious activities do not equal the results of chanting the holy name of Krishna. I realize that Srila Prabhupada here is not talking about prasadam explicitly. But this is Prabhupada's preaching on pious activities. The real, the benefit, the Hare Krishna mantra is so valuable. The effects of chanting are so valuable that anyone who thinks, oh, we're doing good work, that's also. No, it's not also. One thing is the material platform, the other thing is the spiritual platform. No amount of good work is equal to chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? Even the when they said that by they were glorifying in the house of Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle, they were glorifying the holy name. By chanting the holy name, you get the benefits of 10,000 Ashwamedha sacrifices. By getting the holy name, you get mukti. By chanting the holy name, you get mukti. Haridas Thakur said, this is nothing. This is byproducts of chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name gives you love of Krishna. The other stuff comes automatically. From Nam Bhas, or here even Nam Aparad, you get. Huh? So what is the value of chanting of Hare Krishna? Therefore, in renunciation and knowledge, renunciation through wisdom, Srila Prabhupada made this comment. The Mahatmas are always ready to render such service to the Lord with great determination. In this regard, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once made this comment in a lecture. The neophyte Vaishnav devotees ringing the bell even once during worship of the deity of the Supreme Lord is a million times more valuable, spiritually and otherwise, than the charitable fruitive workers building many hospitals, feeding thousands of the poor, or building homes, or even the empirical philosophers' Vedic studies, meditation, austerities, and penances. You're doing more than feeding thousands of people if you ring the bell in front of the deity even once. That's the statement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The Mahatmas have shown the perfect path of charity, devotional service to the Lord. If anyone ignores this path and instead builds hospitals, his effort to help humanity is a mere pretense. Humanity can never reap any permanent advantage from such activities. Indeed, the number of patients only increases along with the number of hospitals. And as for feeding the poor, this will never eradicate poverty but encourage it. Are there more questions? Yes. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow and the next day and probably the day after that. Yes.
Don't you think that the potency of devotional service is even so dependent on the level of the...
Does it seem that the potency of devotional service is... No. He's already doing more than millions of welfare workers. He's not doing more than the advanced devotees of the Lord. So the person who's, he's just entered the high school and he's told, now you're 10 grades, 12 grades above, 8 grades above, 10 grades above kindergarten. You're 10 grades above kindergarten. You think, well, great, now I don't have to go to college. No, you still have to go further. But kindergarten was years ago. So in effect, what's being stated here, the welfare workers are in kindergarten. They're back in kindergarten. And the person who's ringing the bell even once in front of the deities, he's in a higher class. And then what to speak of the devotees who are following the regular principles, who are chanting under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, or those who are truly advanced in devotional service. What do they get? Just to surpass the mundane welfare activities, that's kid stuff. That's kid stuff. Every devotee has already surpassed that. Jnana Karmadhyanamritam. Higher than the Karmakanda platform is even the Jnanis have surpassed Karmakanda activities. Karmakanda activities are for people who aren't thinking. Huh? They're just doing good work, but they're not thinking yet. They're thinking, but they've not yet really started to consider, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Why am I suffering? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What do I have to do? How can I get free from these miseries? That's the business of the Jnanis. Karmis haven't even gotten to that point. Huh? Mundane welfare workers, they haven't come to the level of the Karmis. And even the neophyte devotees are looking down at the Karmis, at the Jnanis. Huh? So how far beyond Karmakanda the devotee is situated? And that's a neophyte devotee. He understands, I'm not this body, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, my life is meant to figure that out yet. They understand they're not this body, but they think they're God, or they think that everyone's God, or they think that their business is to merge with God. And here's someone who's ringing the bell in the temple to become engaged in the service of Krishna. He's beyond all those people. You see? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not just making a provocative statement here, but he's expressing a profound philosophical fact. Other questions? Yes?
I'm very much appreciative to Prabhupada's statements about the highest welfare work as devotional service and your presentation about...
Hold on a second, let them bring you this microphone. Hold on. Okay, start again.
I'm very much appreciative to Prabhupada who establishes devotional service as the highest principle and about your presentation of it. But how do we put this knowledge into practice? For instance, in group distribution, do we, as somebody is doing some service to humanity, should we immediately claim your work is of no value and you'd better check Hare Krishna?
Well, that's a question of tactic. Our purpose is to give him the message of Krishna. Now, if you're going to give him a 30-second soundbite that you're wasting your life and he's going to turn his back on you and walk away, that may not be as great an accomplishment as giving him a few sweet words and selling him a book. Because Srila Prabhupada said, what your 2 minutes preaching will do. But if you give him a book, his whole life can change. So for the sake of distributing a book, we say so many things. We say so many things. Oh, you come from Cincinnati? That's a nice town. Rotten, lousy place. But we say something nice so that he'll feel happy and he'll take one of our books and his whole life will be benefited. So it's not necessarily that all of these things are to be said to everyone under all circumstances. There's a question of the time, the place. But it's also that these things, not that these things should be kept secret, but this is a secret doctrine to be known only by an elite few, and the rest of the devotees or the rest of the world should not be told these things. It should be known. Published, that's the word. Published, in the broad sense of the term. Broadcast. Therefore, going further a little bit in this article, not very far, another paragraph on. Neither Lord Chaitanya nor any of his devotees was ever in a hurry to prevent flood or famine or to found hospitals nor did they give any other advice to anyone, except telling all men at all times and places, Kali Kale Nama Vina Nahiyar Dharma. In Kali Yuga, there's no other dharma but uttering the name of Krishna. Kaite Suite Yata Tata Namaloi Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Vidhi Hoi. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. Jaya Dako Tahikau Krishna Upadesh Amar Agyai Guruha Tare Desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him about Krishna. By my command, be a guru and save this land. Uchcha Sankirtan Tate Korila Prachar Sthirachara Jiber Sab Kandoile Sangsar. You have preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and in this way freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. Bharata Bhumite Manushya Haila Janmajar Janmasartak Kori Kara Paropakar. One born as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. What is that benefit? There's no dharma for the living being other than kirtan, chanting of the holy name of God. To the extent that one disbelieves in bhakti, as denoted by kirtan of the holy name, in other words, if one thinks that all wants cannot be fulfilled by kirtan, to that extent one is Gnostic, atheist. The degree of help one gives in propagating bhakti, as denoted by kirtan, is the sole measure of one's belief in God. So it's a question of faith here. It's a question of faith, shraddha. Do we actually believe in this movement, Hare Krishna movement? We go around, we're chanting Hare Krishna. We tell people, chant Hare Krishna, your life will be sublime. We tell them you'll attain all perfection by chanting Hare Krishna. Do we believe it? Do we believe it for ourselves? Do we believe it for others? It's a question. And the answer may be, well, but this is it. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. As mentioned, he was never in a hurry to open a hospital or to save people from floods. He didn't form a big welfare organization. He propagated this kirtan. And still we say he's Mahabharanya Avatar. He's the most magnanimous. What? He didn't open a hospital? And he's the most magnanimous? What did he give? Just chanting. Oh, just chanting. But what is the value of that chanting? Well, that we don't know. Since the name has to be chanted every moment, even while eating or sleeping, that was quoted just now, since bhakti denoted by kirtan is the only dharma of the living being, also just quoted, since there's no dharma but this, previous quote, where then is the time to get rid of flood or famine or found hospitals? If you have to chant while you're sleeping, while you're eating, while you're doing everything, where's the time to open a hospital or to start a welfare organization or to save people from floods? Those who claim to be positivist, that is those who believe in what can be positively demonstrated to the senses, but forget the greatest of all facts, death. Those who are fallen like the blind men led by the blind, and who under the spell of the enchantress, Maya, loiter about like travelers without an objective. It is such people who have time for work other than Hari Kirtan, chanting of the holy name of Krishna. All efforts except Hari Kirtan cause samsara, the worldly sojourn, the road leading not to the east, but in the opposite direction. East here means back to Godhead. On the other hand, by full-time Hari Kirtan, one turns away from every other direction to face east, or the journey homeward. Kirtaniya Sadhari. Coming to the very end, the Vedic literature says that of all things, the human body is the dearest to God, for the human body is the giver of paramartha, the highest good, and is very difficult to obtain. Therefore, while this body lasts, without being immersed in any other thing, not deceiving ourselves by thinking that any method other than sorrow, stupor, fear-killing devotional service is productive of good. Our duty is to unceasingly practice devotional service. Other forms of devotional service to God are weak. The devotional service denoted by kirtan is strong. Once the protection of the strong bhakti is secured, it gives the living beings the highest good with little effort on their part. Therefore, preaching kirtan at all times, by right of the highest kinship, to induce all living beings to turn homeward, is true universal love, true help for others, true kindness, and the true duty of life. Any questions? Yes.
Is it also that there's many, is it also that there's many considerations done based on circumstances, questions, the future, your understanding?
A little slower.
Okay.
That there are many considerations about time and place and circumstances?
For instance, you are a Buddhist student standing on the street distributing food to somebody, and somebody just makes you get a heart attack. So we should also think about our meditation. So wouldn't it be better to stop the food distribution and help this person give the first aid?
Is there any... If we're distributing books and someone's having a heart attack, shouldn't we stop our book distribution and help him? I'm not quite sure where I've read the reference. It's either Bhaktivinoda Thakur or someplace. And the answer given was like this. Maybe on the Tirtha Prabhu, maybe you've read it. The answer is that actually it's useless to try to help that person, because he's going to die anyway. You can't save him. Even if you know mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or that stuff they do with pushing on the chest, you're not going to save him from death. He's going to die anyway, sooner or later. And if somehow or other, with your help, he lives a little longer, probably he'll just commit further sinful activities, which you're now an accomplice. So really, there's no benefit to helping him in that way. But, because it looks bad, because people will think ill of you if you don't do something, you should do something. That's, as I recall, the sum and substance of the advice that I read from some authority. You know, all right, you have to do a little something just to keep up appearances. But really, you're not helping it, and you know that. Is that okay? A little slower again.
You mentioned that there's a flood.
Yes.
That then we should spend our time chanting Krishna and working in that way. But isn't it sort of like the same just in the last
field? Of course, we'll get to this in detail tomorrow. But you take that principle that you should give a little attention to the person having a heart attack to you, next to you. You give that, you bring that to the macrocosm and say, well, you should be opening hospitals. You should be helping people, starting an emergency relief fund for the people who are in distress from floods. You should be opening orphanages. You should be doing all this relief work. And then what happened to the Hare Krishna movement? That's the problem with that. Therefore, we should go by the directions of the acharyas. If the acharyas say, open hospitals, go out to disaster areas, do it. If they don't. Any other questions here? Yes, Mataji.
I don't know if it comes from you, but it looks like you skipped it in the first part of the article.
I skipped lots of the article. I'm skipping around here. But if you want to ask about something, go ahead.
It looks like, we know the philosophy we learn to people. I think, part of the compromise we made is because of what you mentioned here, the propaganda. Or if we get negative propaganda. So it looks like we're making a lot of compromise to get propaganda.
Say that again?
That we are so-called doing the pious activities to get good propaganda.
We're doing pious activities to get good propaganda.
But here it's everything saying about propaganda. That that can be also true opposition.
That part there. I understand what you're referring to. There's a the part that I skipped at the very beginning, it's paragraph 2. The truth spreads in two ways, positively through direct support and negatively by opposition. The truth cannot be sufficiently made sufficiently known by the positive method alone. Propaganda through opposition invokes and glorifies the truth more brilliantly than direct support. Essentially what he's saying here is, well, if we get criticized, that's good too. Just like Prabhupada used to say, if there was some negative newspaper article about us, he said that's good. They're chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is bad. So that's also chanting Hare Krishna. The saying is, old saying is that the only bad publicity is no publicity. So if they say something good about us, that's good. If they say something bad about us, that's also good. Or in this instance, really what the author is saying, I would venture, if I may be allowed, is that we're being criticized here for the stance we've taken. That criticism is an opportunity for us to explain the truth. Criticism is an opportunity for us to explain the truth. If we get the time in one of the next couple of days, I might indulge in the vanity of reading to you part of a letter that I wrote to one of my disciples here in Europe, who was asking about a similar question. Shouldn't we seem to be doing the right thing? Shouldn't we be seen to be doing the right thing? And I gave him a fairly similar answer. That if we're doing the thing that they don't think is the right thing, that gives us our chance to explain why we're not doing what they think is the right thing. If we just go along and do the thing that we're expected to do, yeah, we should help. Okay, we helped. The government helped, the Red Cross helped, Catholic Church helped, the Salvation Army helped, Hare Krishna. If we refuse to help, they say, why are you refusing to help? And then we have to explain. So in that way, propaganda through opposition invokes and glorifies the truth more brilliantly. Is that okay? Yes?
In this call, many times when we say somebody doing Sankirtan, we understood it in book distribution. So my question is, what is the value of distributing in the Sankirtan and who book?
Oh, a sideways question. What is the value of distributing the Sankirtan on Sankirtan cookbook? Not much, frankly, if I may venture as a BBT trustee. It's not a very important book. Our important books are like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They can read a cookbook beginning to end, and how much will they get? And if they read one page of Bhagavad Gita, their whole life can change. So our cookbooks are not that our mission is to go out and distribute cookbooks. We're not the vegetarian society. We don't think that, oh, if we got someone interested in vegetarianism, we really did a great thing. I got somebody to be a vegetarian. So what? The books are really there, as far as I understand, where they're used effectively. They give a person a cookbook, and now that the person has his hand on a book and his hand on his wallet, they pile a few more books on top of that, and they send the guy home happy. That's the real purpose. The real purpose of those books is just to get people to take our other books. We used to hand people a stick of incense to stop them on the street. Do you still do that in some places? 1968, you know. You stop a person and give them a stick of incense. Now, what do we care about incense distribution? We improved his life. We made his home a more fragrant place. We have no interest in distributing incense. Chances that he'll offer it to Krishna are 1 out of 10 million. But we do it just to stop him so that he'll take one of our books. That's our purpose. So these other such literature is just to get you to the point. The real point is this message of Krishna consciousness.
Every package of incense is Hare Krishna mantra or picture of Krishna.
Something.
And in cookbook is also all explanation how we get on the prasadam and
sometimes.
Who is Krishna and
sometimes.
Picture of Krishna.
Something.
And this person just one time read Hare Krishna mantra in between some recipes.
Why are we wasting our time then with all this pushing so hard for Bhagavad Gita? People like cookbooks. Why don't we just distribute that? After all, Hare Krishna is there 1 or 2 times, 10 times, 50 times, something. Hare Krishna mantra is there, a picture of Krishna is there. Why are we distributing Bhagavad Gita? We could be distributing cookbooks and everybody would love us. The Hare Cookbook Movement. Prabhupada, one time we asked if we could publish recipes in Back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, if you think that people will be interested, you can publish them. He said, but no pictures. It means he didn't think it was very important. But now you must, in every issue of Back to Godhead, publish at least one recipe. He didn't care. But he wrote to me personally, in every issue henceforward, you should include one chapter, actually, he said, of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when a chapter was too big, he said, all right, you can at least a few pages. Our mission is not to kind of go this way and that way. The thing is finally to deliver the punch. If you do everything else and you don't deliver the punch, it's a failure. You know, you like in sports, you know, you want, at least in American baseball, you know, they get to the plate where they're supposed to stand and then they wind up and they do all these things and they finally throw the ball. If they don't throw the ball, then the whole thing was a waste of time. So if we do all these things to bring a person to Krishna consciousness, but we never finally deliver the message, what did we do? We made him a vegetarian. How you doing? He joined the pigeons. All right, Satchinanda Maharaj is here. I think we should stop and give him a chance to prepare. Tomorrow we'll answer all of those more ISKCON-related questions. We'll see you then. Thank you very much. If anyone didn't get those handouts from yesterday, there are probably some still circulating. And that one little folder should please come back to me. Thank you. Hare Krishna.